Testament book of 2 Kings, chapter 6. 2 Kings, chapter 6. While you're turning there, we really enjoyed the inspiration, the special music tonight, and also your singing. It's been real good. 2 Kings, chapter 6. Picking up our reading in verse 1. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. One said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. When they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. The man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick, and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim or floated. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. So the Lord will bless this portion of his word to our hearts this evening. As you read through the life of Elijah and Elisha, I'm sure you are aware immediately that Elijah was perhaps the more dramatic of the two well-known prophets. He is the man or the prophet of God who bursts upon the scene, who pronounces judgment upon Ahab and upon his rule, and who speaks out against the sin that has taken place, the forgetting of God and the forsaking of God and the turning to idols. And as you read of Elijah, you know that he is a man that seems to be very dramatic. He is a man of fire. But when you come to Elisha, he is less spectacular, but no less effective. Elisha also was a tremendous man of God, a man who was used of God in many ways. And here in this section that we have read this evening, we have a little observed sometimes, little known passage or a portion that tells us of a simple incident that happened, and yet in it, I believe, we have a beautiful gospel illustration. The story of a piece of iron that swam or that floated. Something that happened. This story opens with the young prophet saying to Elijah, The place where we are staying is too small. We've outgrown our present premises. We need to expand. We need to grow. We want to go down by the Jordan. We want to cut down some logs, and we want to build a larger place. And so Elijah says, Go ahead. Or Elisha, I should say, just go ahead. Then they said to him, But we don't want to go without you. Will you come with us? He said, All right, I will come with you. And so the young prophets go down by the Jordan, and they all set to work. They start cutting down the trees. They're cutting down the trees. They're cutting down with their axes the trees that are around. And they are really working hard. And they are working very vigorously. When in the midst of their hard labor, something happened. One of the axe heads that the young man was using flew off of the handle and went into the river and sank to the bottom. And Elisha is called upon, and they said, Oh, something has happened. Now you say, why make such an excitement about a little thing like an axe head? Well, perhaps they didn't have any other axe heads around, and so they needed that one. And not only so, but as we see in the story, it was one that he had borrowed. Now, it's bad enough to lose a piece of your own tools, your own equipment, but it's worse when you borrow something and you lose somebody else's piece of equipment. And so the young man was embarrassed. Here is this axe that he had borrowed from someone, perhaps a friend, and he promised him faithfully that he would return it, and now it is at the bottom of the Jordan River. And in this story, I believe we have a beautiful gospel illustration. I'd like to share it with you this evening. I want to think and focus upon the axe head. That thing that many of us perhaps use quite often. We only use it when we need it, of course, and we realize that the axe head is something that we don't use that often unless we are in the business that these young men were in at that particular time. But what about the axe head? I want you to consider with me this evening, first of all, the condition of the axe head, something that we see, and it's likened to the condition of you and I who are in this world, who are born into this world, because we are all just like the axe head. And first of all, we see that the axe head was a lifeless. It was lifeless. It had no life in itself. And as the young man swung the handle of the axe to cut down the tree, the axe head flew off into the water, and it sank to the bottom. Is this not like the condition of the sinner, the person without the Lord Jesus Christ? Does not the Bible tell us that we are all born in sin, that we are all dead in trespasses and in sins? When the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, he says in chapter 2, "And you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sins." And then in the 5th verse, again, he uses that same expression. You were dead in your trespasses and in your sins. I know we all realize that the Bible teaches us that that death is not cessation of life, but rather separation. And I'm sure we're all aware that the Bible teaches us that death is seen in 3 aspects in the Scriptures. We are all aware that physical death is all around us. I mentioned to Brother Kingsley, as we passed the cemetery yesterday on our way to the meeting, yesterday evening, I said to him, I remember a few years coming here when that new section of the cemetery had just been opened. And I commented to him about the fact that there are so many graves, new graves, in that cemetery. Wherever we turn, physical death is all around us. Several years ago, I was in Freeport and sharing in a funeral with Brother Hartley Thompson. And he said to me, he said, you know, for a number of years, the people who built Freeport and who started Freeport, they did not allow a cemetery in that community. He said, because, you see, it was called the Magic City, and they did not want, perhaps, to let people know that people died in Freeport. And he said, what happened was, up until some years ago, he said, we used to have the funerals and have to go to one of the outlying communities to bury the dead. And even as you go into the memorial gardens, it is hard to tell that it is a cemetery. You do not see headstones. It looks like a beautiful garden, but death is there. You can go to the most sophisticated city. You can go to the most influential place and the most affluent community, and you will find the cemetery. You see, death is all around us. That is physical death. But the Bible teaches us that we are also dead in trespasses and in sins, and that is spiritual death. And if you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, even though you can see, even though you can hear my voice, even though you can feel, even though you have all of your mental faculties, the Bible says if you're here without Christ, you are dead spiritually dead, dead in trespasses and in sins. That's your condition. Just like the axe head, lifeless, spiritually lifeless. The Bible also speaks of eternal death or the second death. And that means that in a coming day you will be eternally separated from God. Eternity would be bad enough, but to think, my friend, to be separated eternally without any hope of ever knowing that you can be saved, that you can get out of that awful lake of fire, that, my friend, is terrible. To be eternally separated from God. And so the axe head was lifeless. All that you might realize your lost condition tonight. All that the Holy Spirit may impress upon you that you are lifeless, dead, spiritually dead. That's why you cannot communicate with God, because you see, you are separated from the life of God. You may be a good person tonight. You may be a religious person. You may be, my friend, active in your church. But if you have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're spiritually dead. You cannot communicate with the Lord. Dead in trespasses and in sin. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the 21st chapter, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. And that's your condition tonight, my friend. I say it to you lovingly. I say it to you, my friend, with love in my heart for your soul. You may be a good person tonight. You may be a nice person, a moral person, but oh, listen, you are dead in trespasses and in sins. And you need the life of God. That's why it's no good of you trying to do the best you can. That's why it's no good of you doing anything that you think is good and right, because you see, you need, my friend, not to turn over a new leaf, but you need to receive new life that comes alone from Jesus Christ, that comes from heaven above. It is called the new birth. The Lord Jesus looked at Nicodemus one day as Nicodemus came to him, and he said to Nicodemus, he said, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And if you have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, my friend, tonight you cannot. Good, nice, wonderful person that you may be, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Because in order for you to enter the kingdom of God, you need to be born the second time. The Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's the first birth. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. That's the second birth. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof. You cannot tell whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I'm not asking if you've had an emotional experience. I'm asking you tonight, my friend, have you been born of the Spirit? Because you see, when the Holy Spirit, as the Lord Jesus said He would, when the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, and He brings that Word of God home to your heart, you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says you are quickened by the Spirit. Your dead human spirit is made alive, and the new birth takes place. And the Bible says in the book of Romans that the Spirit of God witnesses with our spirits that we are the children of God. Hallelujah. Do you know it tonight, my friend?
Have you been born of the Spirit? The Bible says that the axe head was lifeless, or it indicates that. But the Bible does say that the person without Christ is lifeless. You may have sat in some of the meetings today. You've listened to the preachers as they have expounded the Word of God. And somehow you said, I just couldn't understand what they were saying. You know, my friend, you will not be able to understand as long as you're spiritually dead. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. My friend, listen, you need tonight to be made alive. You are lifeless. You need to be raised up. You need to be born again. You need to be saved. Spiritually lifeless, dead. But not only was it so, but also we see that it was lost. It was lost. As he was felling a tree, the axe head flew into the water, and it sank to the bottom. It was lost. That also is your condition tonight before God. My unsaved friend, that is your condition tonight. You are spiritually lost. The Lord Jesus Christ said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save not good people, not church members, not moral people, not nice people, but to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. The Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save lost people. And I thank God for that tonight. And every one of us who has come to know the Savior in a personal, intimate way and has been born again by the Word of God and the Spirit of God, we can say tonight, thank God, Jesus saved me, for once I was lost, but now I am found. Spiritually lost. Do you realize tonight that you're lost? You know you cannot be saved until you get lost. That's true. There are some people, it's hard to get through to them that they are lost, and you know what happens? It's hard to see them saved because they don't understand. They don't realize that they're lost. Do you realize that you're lost tonight? A preacher was preaching and he was warning people about being lost. Man said, he's being foolish. I'm not lost. I know where I am. But you see, he didn't understand that the preacher wasn't talking about his physical condition, but his spiritual condition before God. Lost! The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. Oh, my friend, you're lost. But I have good news for you. The Lord Jesus Christ is seeking lost sinners. And he's seeking you. And young man, he may have been seeking you for some time. And tonight the prayers of your godly mother and father are in this place. And they're praying that the Lord Jesus Christ will be able to save you tonight. Oh, listen, understand that you are lifeless, that you are lost. And let the Lord Jesus save you. But you know, the axe head was also loaned. The young man cried, he says, alas, master, for it is bald. And I wish tonight that every one of us could realize, Christian and non-Christian alike,
that our lives are only loaned to us. The Bible tells us and keeps warning us about the brevity of life. The Bible says in James, in the epistle of James, for what is your life? It is even but a puff of smoke, a vapor, which appears for a moment of time and is gone. The Bible says our life is like a blade of grass that comes up and is gone, like a flower that unfolds in all of its beauty and opens up in the morning time, and in the evening it is gone. We are not here forever. We are not here forever. In 1960, Brother Ed Allen and myself, along with Brother X Major, were having a tent crusade in Governor's Harbor, Eleuthera. The Lord saved a number of young men during that crusade. Some of them are the backbone of the assembly in Governor's Harbor now. But one night we were talking outside the tent after the meeting, and we were talking to a group of young men. Some of these young fellows had just accepted Christ, and there were some of their friends around, some of the other guys around. And we were witnessing to these fellows about their need of the Savior. And one young man, about 16 or 17, 18, he said to me, he said, I know what you're saying is true, but I've got plenty of time. I'm young. We tried to tell him the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day will bring forth. But he wouldn't listen. I believe that was Wednesday or Thursday, and it may have even been Friday night. On the Saturday night, Brother Ed and myself and another brother from Palmetto Point drove to Tarpon Bay for the evening. While in Tarpon Bay, the vehicle we were using had a flat tire, but we had the spare. But on the way back to Palmetto Point, we had a blowout, so we were left stranded on the road. Of course, in those days, there wasn't that much traffic on the road. But we waited. We were, I guess, halfway between the two communities. Then we heard the roar of a vehicle coming after a while, and we saw in the darkness the headlights piercing the darkness, and it got closer and closer. And you know, it went on past us, going from Governor's Harbor to Rock Sound. It never stopped. And we saw that it was the police jeep. And about an hour later, it returned. This time they stopped and they said, we're sorry we didn't stop before, but there's been a bad accident outside of Governor's Harbor coming towards Palmetto Point. And you who are familiar with the Eleuthera know that terrible bend when you're coming down toward the lake. Three guys, I think it was in a car, tried to negotiate that bend at 70 miles an hour and they didn't make it. And one of them was killed. Or he was badly injured. They were rushing to Rock Sound to the doctor to try to get some help for him. And they said, that's why we didn't stop. And I looked into the back of that jeep and I saw the young man's legs, his feet, rather in the shoes. And I said, oh God, he tied those shoelaces tonight for the last time. He didn't know that this was going to be his last ride. One of the young men that we spoke to a few nights before, plenty of time. Listen, our life is but for a moment, and we cannot waste it, and we cannot say tomorrow, because God always deals in the present, and he says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Listen, my friend, your life is loaned to you. It is not your own, and you cannot do with it. God's going to call you into reckoning one day. The very breath that we breathe, he holds in his hands. Boys and girls, young people, listen. That's why it's important to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ when you're young. Don't think you're too young. I make no apologies, and I'm not ashamed to say I trusted Christ when I was 5 years old.
And I say to some of you boys and girls tonight, if you haven't given your heart and life to the Lord Jesus, this is the best time to do it. Do it while you're young. It was loaned. The axe head was lifeless. It was lost. It was loaned. The young man cried. He said, "Alas, Master, it is borrowed." Thank God for the man of God. Thank God for those who do the remedy, for those who know the remedy. What a joy it is when some sinner burdened with his sin, he says, "I know that I'm lost. I know that I need a Savior." You can turn to the Word of God and you can present the answer. Isn't it wonderful to have a solution? Have a cure for this condition. And here is the cure. Very calmly, Elisha, the servant, the man of God, he goes and he cuts down a tree. It says a stick. And he threw it into the water. You say, what a stupid thing. What a foolish thing to do. Let me tell you, my friend, the Bible says that the foolishness of God, God uses His foolishness to confound the wise. And the Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, idiocy, sheer nonsense. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. And a tree cut down, a stick cut down and thrown into the water. But it speaks to us of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God's solution for man's lost and lifeless condition is the death of His Son on the cross. God's solution, my friend, to raise you up to new life is the death of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In explaining this, the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And at Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up on a cross. Wicked men punched Him before that, spit upon Him, cursed Him, abused Him, scourged Him, and nailed Him to a cross. And then God pulled the plug, plunged the earth into darkness. And during those 3 hours of darkness, the Bible says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. There, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. There on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered, as Peter tells us. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, quickened by the Spirit. And on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ died, my friend, for you and for me. That's why when a person tries to work their way to heaven or earn their way to heaven or buy their way to heaven, it's no good. Because you see, the way to heaven is not by what we do, but by what God has done in Christ through the work of His beloved Son on the cross. For He Himself said, "For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." On the cross, He took my place and your place. Our brother Willie sang in that beautiful old song of Mr. Spafford's earlier, My Sin. I love that verse. It's a beautiful hymn. I love all of the hymn, but oh, I tell you, every time I sing that or hear it sung, my heart just gets full. My sin! Oh, the bliss of that glorious thought! My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to His cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Oh, my soul! Hallelujah! What a Savior! He took my place. He took your place. And oh, my friend, listen. He died for you. The Bible says that He bore in His body our sins on the tree. Again, the beautiful verse of another hymn, all thy sins were laid upon Him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on Him. And believing, we are free. Are you free tonight? He was cut down. He died for our sins. And then He cried from the cross. Matthew tells us in his account, he says he cried with a loud voice toward the end of the 3 hours of darkness, and he cried again with a loud voice. The first loud cry that Matthew tells us about was, my God, why have you forsaken me? And there the Lord Jesus Christ was forsaken by the Father because of you and me, because of my sins and your sins. And then later Matthew tells us that he cried again with a loud voice, and he doesn't tell us, but John in chapter 19 and verse 30 tells us that he fills us in, and he says that the Lord Jesus cried, it is finished. Then that cry was made. It echoed up and it reverberated to the highest heaven, and it reverberated down into hell, and all the demons and the devils trembled. Because it was a cry of victory. Finished. Hallelujah, the work of redemption is done. The Bible tells us the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. The rocks did rend, the earth did quake. All of this happened when Jesus cried, it is finished. Three days later, He came forth from the tomb. He came from the tomb. He came out of the tomb alive. And to the aged John, he says, as John fell at His feet in Revelation chapter 1, as he records this, he says, John, fear not. I am He that became dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and hold the keys of Hades and of death. My friend, Jesus came forth victorious. God says to us that salvation is found through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, through the shedding of His precious blood. And it is through the shedding of His precious blood that we are cleansed from our sin. Peter says we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from our vain conversation received by tradition from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He was cut down. He was crucified. He died. He shed His blood for you and for me. Have you ever availed yourself of his salvation? You know, every time you reject the Savior, you are spurning God's grace. You are rejecting God's love. And you are trampling underfoot the precious blood of Christ. He was cut down. But he rose up from the dead. Hallelujah. Up from the grave he arose. My friend, tonight he's alive. You see, he laid down his life. He was raised up again. The writer to the Hebrews says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Paul, writing in the Philippians, says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and of things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. My friend, have you ever bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus? You do not bow now. You will bow in a coming day. And even as he pronounces judgment, you will bow the knee and you will confess and you will say, you are Lord. The cure that was used, foolish in the eyes of men, but precious in the eyes of God, a stick cut down. It was thrown into the water, and the miracle took place, totally against the laws of nature. That lost and lifeless axe head came up to the surface and floated on the top of the surface. The King James Version says the iron did swim. When a poor, guilty, hell-deserving sinner comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and confesses themselves as sinners, repenting of their sin, and they by faith accept the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, he raises them up. The Bible says in the second chapter of Ephesians, he quickens us. He raises us up. He gives us new life. My friend, let me ask you tonight, have you ever been raised up by the Lord Jesus? It's a miracle. The wonder of the new birth. Over the past few weeks, Brother Tom and I, some of you from Marsh Harbor know we've been involved in that crusade. It's been a joy, night after night, to see people coming to know the Savior. People being raised up. The very first Sunday, a man who's been a terrible alcoholic. Another man, a friend of his, saw him a week later and said, there's a change in your life. He came to the crusade and he got his life straightened out in glory. Raised up! The Lord Jesus Christ at this very moment wants to lift you up, my friend. He wants to set you free from that habit that's got you bound, young man. He says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. He wants to raise you up. He wants to give you new life. Life from above. He wants to make you alive. He wants to find you tonight, my friend, and make your life worthwhile. And he can do it. But you've got to let him. The axe head was raised up. I close with a challenge of the axe head. Elisha said to the young man, he says, reach out and take it. That which was useless, which was no good, as long as it lay on the bottom of the river, became useless. It became useful again. I want to tell you, my friend, the Lord can make something out of your life. The Lord can turn your life around. He can make something of your life tonight, as the songwriter says. He'll give you something worth living for. He'll give it to you. New life. He'll lift you up. He'll change you. That which you before were useless, so to speak, spiritually, you can become useful. When Paul returned or sent Onesimus back to Philemon, he said, he was once unprofitable to you, but no longer. He is now profitable, not only to me, but to you. God wants to make something of your life, young man. Sir, God wants to make something of your life. He wants to lift you up. He wants to give you new life. He wants to save you. You know what, Christians? We've been hearing this morning about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's what's going to happen when He comes in the air. As our brother Rob was reminding us this morning, that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for His church is closer than we may think. And when He comes, He is going to raise us up. Those, dear brother B.M. Nodded, used to say, we're going to have a non-stop flight to glory. You know what thrills me? Brother Tom mentioned this on Sunday night. The Bible says that Satan, the devil, is the prince of the power of the air. You know something? We're going to go right through his territory. He won't be able to stop us when the Lord Jesus comes. He's going to raise us up! He's going to take us to be with himself! What if he comes tonight? If you're like that axe head, you're lost, you're lifeless, you won't even know when he comes. There'll be nothing in you to respond to his call. You'll be left right behind. You won't hear, you won't even know, you won't be aware of it. But every one of us who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, our ears are attuned. He says, my sheep hear my voice. When he calls us, he says, come up hither. We'll be raised up out of this earth. We'll be taken up to be forever with the Lord. But if you're going to take part in that wonderful catching away, you've got to be saved, first of all. Shall we bow for prayer? You've got to realize, my friend, tonight your lost condition. The axe head. The condition of the axe head, it was lifeless, it was lost, it was lone. The cure was a tree cut down. God's cure for the sinful man is Calvary and the death of his son there.
the sacrifice of His Son there. And if you're going to be lifted up tonight, you must come by faith and kneel at the foot of the old rugged cross and let the Lord Jesus Christ come into your heart, into your life. And with heads bowed, I wonder tonight if there's someone here, you're not saved. You realize your condition, that you're lost, you're lifeless. Realize too tonight that your life is only loan to you. You're not here forever. Will you not tonight turn, my friend, and look and see the Lord Jesus on the cross for your sins? Would you not right now accept Him as your personal Savior? I wonder if there's someone here. Before we go to prayer, I'm going to ask you tonight, if you're concerned about your soul's salvation, just slip your hand up. We'd like to remember you in a word of prayer. And there are a lot of us here who would love to sit with you afterwards with the open scriptures and point you to the Savior. Anyone before we go to prayer? Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. And Father, for the truth that men can be lifted up. Men can be brought out of their sin into Your wonderful salvation. They can be born again. They can receive new life. Life from above. Oh, we pray tonight that those who are in this congregation who have not accepted yet the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they tonight will receive Him, whom to know is life eternal. Father, bless Thy Word. Save precious souls. We think of the precious boys and girls, the young people. Oh God, that they will come to know the Savior in their early youth, that they will trust the Lord Jesus Christ before they get into the things of this world and of sin, and the ravages of sin and of Satan be torn upon them. Oh God, deliver them. Save them. For those tonight who are shackled by sin, Lord, You're able to do that for them what they cannot do. May they turn tonight and accept Thee, O God, as their personal Savior, accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, and be born again. Continue to bless Thy Word, we pray. To every heart we ask, give us a good night's rest. Bless the meetings on the morrow. And oh, we pray that this conference will be crowned with the salvation of precious souls. For we ask it with thanksgiving. In Jesus' precious and worthy name, amen and amen.